chapter 12. Uh-huh. Mm-hmm. Woulda, coulda, shoulda. Yep. Mm-hmm. But they didn't. Roll Tide, roll. Luke chapter 12. Yep. Well, as far as I'm concerned, the national championship was yesterday. So. Yeah. All right, Luke chapter 12, and we're picking it up in verse 54. And he said also to the people, when you see a cloud rise out of the west, straightway you say, there cometh a shower. And so it is. And when you see the south wind blow, you say, there will be heat. And it cometh to pass. Ye hypocrites, you can discern the face of the sky and of the earth, but how is it that ye do not discern this time? Yea, and why even of yourselves judge ye not what is right? When you goest with thine adversary the magistrate, as thou art in the way, give diligence that thou mayest be delivered from him, lest he hale thee to the judge, and the judge deliver thee to the officer, and the officer cast thee into prison. I tell thee, thou shalt not depart thence, till thou hast paid the very last mite. Now, Father, we ask God that today you'd bless our Sunday school hour. God, pray for your people. God, the needs in this church, the spiritual needs, the physical needs. God, just what's going on in homes and families and lives and hearts and minds. God, I pray that you'd meet the need today. Lord, I stand before you insufficient for the need. I stand before thee as a sinner saved by grace through faith. God, with a perfect Bible and a perfect Savior. God, in an imperfect fallen body. And I'm wanting to please you today. I'm wanting to see your people help today. And I pray that you'd cover me in the blood of Jesus Christ and hide me behind the cross. Pray you'd fill me with your Spirit. And pray that you would use this earthen vessel for your glory. Allow me, Lord, to say something that will help and minister. Allow this mouth and this unclean tongue and lips to somehow, Lord, bring forth some truths and light that will vanquish the strongholds of the wicked one. God, that will bring light where once there was darkness, that will bring conviction and magnify your word above all your name. So, Lord, we pray that today we would truly come and know that we have met with God. We ask, Lord, that you would, by your grace, Lord, show up now, speak to hearts, manifest your word, manifest your own glory, Lord, that you may truly be praised, worshipped, honored, adored, lifted up, and magnified in all things. We ask and pray it all in Jesus' precious name. Amen. So here now in Luke chapter 12, the Lord says you can discern all that, but what about this time? Verse 56, notice, ye hypocrites, you can discern the face of the sky and of the earth, but how is it that you do not discern this time? This time, what is Jesus talking about when he says this time? Well, obviously the context of the passage and what we've been looking at the last couple of weeks, 2 weeks ago, we looked on how Jesus is coming. The idea that his coming is broken into different parts. Two parts to the first coming, two parts to the second coming. It's all one coming, but the Lord has that thing kind of divided up that way in his coming. Last week we looked at why he was coming, why Jesus came. There's reasons for his coming, and as we see each of those broken up, we see the purposes for the Lord Jesus Christ himself coming, and most importantly of all, to rule and to reign one day over this earth. But now the question has been modified and changed to this, when is he coming? And so Jesus tells them, you can discern the face of the sky and of the earth, but how is it that you do not discern this time? See, that this time. And the idea is you say, okay, there's a red sky tonight, or the wind's out of the north, and from that you can make determinations on whether we're going to have hot water or hot weather or cold weather, or whether it's going to storm or whether it's going to be sunny. And you can make these predictions based on some of the signs of the weather and the environment that are around you. And Jesus is telling them, you can do that, but how is it that you can see other things that are going on that I've made mention of, and you can't discern what time it is concerning my coming? And so that's the idea. Look, hold your place there and look with me in Matthew chapter 16, as the Lord Jesus Christ reiterates this point. Matthew chapter 16. And it's amazing when you think about it that we have so many in the church today that are so focused on signs and wonders, and yet they're not interested in the signs the Lord told us to truly be interested in. The signs that the Lord Jesus Christ told us to be interested in was not tongues. It wasn't healing lines. See, it wasn't being slain in the Spirit. But there were some signs that the Lord says that we need to be aware of, that we need to be looking for, that we need to be interested in. Here in Matthew chapter 16, let's read it together, beginning in verse 1. Matthew 16 and verse 1. The Pharisees also with the Sadducees came and tempting desired him that he would show them a sign from heaven. They're looking for a sign. See? Problem. Verse 2. He answered and said unto them, when it is evening, ye say, it will be fair weather, for the sky is red. We used to say in the Coast Guard, red sky at night, sailor's delight. Red sky in morning, sailor's warning. And the idea was, is you could tell certain things about, and I don't know if that always was true or not. I don't know. I didn't pay attention to it. All I know is there are certain things you can look at to predict what's going to happen right around the corner, what's coming in the near future. And the Lord says, you're looking for signs. You see signs all the time that let you know certain things. Verse 3, and in the morning it will be foul weather today, for the sky is red and lowering. O ye hypocrites! Ye can discern the face of the sky, but can ye not discern the signs of the times? The signs of the times. If there's one particular set of signs that we as Bible-believing Christians are to be looking for, if there's one set of signs that we are interested in, if there's a certain set of signs that we're saying, Lord, give us a sign, it should be in the area of knowing and understanding when it is that Jesus Christ is returning. Amen. And that's the context of the signs that Christians should be interested in and should be looking forward to. Look there in Luke chapter 21. Luke chapter 21. He tells them, a wicked and adulterous generation seeketh after a sign. When it comes to all that sign, no sign given to it but the sign of the prophet Jonas. One sign and boom, there it was. Look here in Luke chapter 21, Luke 21. And this has to do with signs that are for us. And that's the problem. Christians are wanting the signs that aren't for them instead of the signs that are for them. Luke chapter 21 and verse 25. Verse 25. And there shall be signs. There it is. The Lord tells you to look for signs. There shall be signs in the sun and in the moon. And in the stars, and upon the earth, distress of nations with perplexity, the sea and the waves roaring, men's hearts failing them for fear and for looking after those things which are coming on the earth, for the powers of heaven shall be shaken. Well, that's some pretty serious signs. Then shall they see the Son of Man coming in a cloud with power and great glory. Signs concerning what? The return of the Lord Jesus Christ to the earth. Verse 28. And when these things begin to come to pass, then look up and lift up your heads, For your redemption draweth nigh. The Lord says, I'm going to give you some signs so you can know about when I'm returning for you. Literally, doctrinally, He's speaking here to the nation of Israel. The nation of Israel that the Lord will go back to after the rapture of the church and for 7 years deal with them during that tribulation period. And at the very end of that tribulation period, the Lord says, you're going to know about when I'm going to come because I'm going to give you some signs. I'm going to show you some things. Then shall you see the sign of the Son of Man coming with power and great glory. That's the promise that He's given to His people. Now look back with me there in chapter 21 again, Luke chapter 21 and verse 7. Notice all of this in reference to a question that His disciples had asked Him. Way back here, Luke chapter 21 and verse 7. And they asked Him saying, Master, but when shall these things be, and what sign will there be when these things shall come to pass? What things? Verse 5, and as He spake the temple, how it was adorned with goodly stones and gifts, He said, as for these things which ye behold, the days will come in the which there shall not be left one stone upon another that shall not be thrown down. Destruction in Jerusalem. See? So what's He talking about? He's talking about the tribulation, the Antichrist, and the second coming of the Lord Jesus Christ to the earth. And He says there's some signs. Specifically, He's giving these signs to the nation of Israel for what they can look at when they know they're in the tribulation. Verse 8. And He said, take heed that ye be not deceived. Number one thing. How about that? Number one thing, number one warning. What is it? Deception. So what does that mean? The closer we get to the end, the more and more deception there will be. Take heed that you be not deceived, for many shall come in my name, saying, I am Christ, and the time draweth near. Go ye not therefore after them. In other words, there's false Christs, false prophets that'll be showing up, and you know what they're preaching and teaching? The second coming. The time's near. You know how the Jehovah's Witnesses got started? That's how. You know how Seventh-day Adventists got started? That's how. You know how Christian Science got started? That's how. They all got started with someone coming up and saying that Jesus is getting ready to come back. You better get ready. That's how all those cults got started. See? The Lord told you about that. They're using that thing. What are they doing? They're using a false sign. And so finally, what happens at the end, and we'll look into this more in a little bit, is over there in 2 Peter, one of the signs you're going to know it's going to be when we're getting close to the end is everybody's going to say, well, I've heard that my whole life. That's one of the real signs that He's coming, is when people start saying it. Why are people saying that? Because you've had false prophets and false Christ come up and try to say, He's coming back. He's coming back, so let's all drink the purple Kool-Aid. He's coming back in a UFO to get us. Outside of this comet, so let's all kill ourselves so we can go up and be with Him in the comet. The Helibop comet thing and all those people that died in that. All these cults, see, that's how that stuff goes. And it always has to do with the coming of Christ. That's the doctrine that the devil hates. That's the one he's always trying to pervert. And that's the one that draws people away. Why? They're not looking for the real signs. They're getting a false sign. And it messes them up. The Lord told you that you needed to go and look for signs, but you better base those signs on exactly what Jesus Christ said in His Word. And so He warns them about that. Verse 8, He said, take heed that you be not deceived, for many shall come in my name, saying, I am Christ, and the time draweth near. Go ye not therefore after them. But when ye shall hear of wars and commotions, be not terrified. For these things must first come to pass, but the end is not by and by. All right, so that's first thing on the horizon then, isn't it? So what's that? A failure of the United Nations to deliver yet once again. What is that? More wars. More people dying. Amen. Just more conflicts all around the world. Nations, countries, multinational world wars, all the rest of it. Verse 10, then He said unto me, nation shall rise against nation and kingdom against kingdom. Great earthquakes shall be in diverse places, and famines and pestilences and fearful sights, and great signs shall there be from heaven. There's the signs. He's telling them about the signs. Then, if you will, notice verse 12. But before all these, look, before all what? all these. What's the these? Those signs that he just mentioned? So all those signs that he just mentioned, the great earthquakes, right? The famines, the pestilences, the wars, amen? Before all that, what are they going to do? Verse 12. They shall lay their hands on you and persecute you, delivering you up to the synagogues and into the prisons, being brought before kings and rulers for my name's sake, and it shall turn to you for a testimony. So before any of those signs, what sign will have to happen in Israel? The persecution of the Jew once again. Worse than ever happened with Hitler. Has that happened yet? Then what are these people about writing prophecy books and prophecy movies about all these signs and wonders that we should be looking for when Jesus says before any of that, the first thing that will happen is persecution to the Jews as a nation? That's the first sign. When does that sign take place? In the tribulation. So as Christians, should we be looking at those signs? Well, you know, I've heard there's more earthquakes. Doesn't matter. That's not one of the signs. That's a sign for the people in the tribulation. Are you in the tribulation? You know, there's no Christians that thought they were going through the tribulation until they started coming out with these prophecy movies and these prophecy books, Hal Lindsey and all the rest of it, telling you, yeah, we're having more hurricanes and more earthquakes, therefore the tribulation's right around the corner. That was back in the 60s and 70s. Missed it by just a little bit. Just a little bit. See why? They're going by signs that aren't for them. Hello? Would any of those signs be for you and I in the church? If before any of those signs can happen, the first sign is the persecution of the Jew in the tribulation. You see? You can't go by that. You better stick with the book. Yeah, you should seek some signs. Not those. Not those. Better be careful. See, it'll mess you up. Mess you up. We're not going to witness any of those signs. Not as God's people in the church age. Amen. Now look with me in Luke chapter 17. Luke 17. Now there are some signs that we can go by according to the Scripture that let us know we're getting close to the tribulation period. And before the tribulation period can start, what happens? Anybody know? We've been looking at this for a few weeks now, talking about the second coming of Christ. Who can tell me what's going to happen before the tribulation period? The rapture of the church. Amen. So if we can know about when the tribulation is going to be, then what can we also know about when it's going to be? The rapture of the church. See? So there's some signs about when the rapture of the church is going to be. But not those signs we just looked at, but there are some signs. Notice here in Luke chapter 21. Oh, I'm sorry, Luke chapter 17, my bad. I already gave you that reference. Luke chapter 17 and verse 26. Jesus says this, "And as it was in the days of Noah, so shall it be also in the days of the Son of Man." Well, we know that's talking about the second coming of Jesus, right? But remember, the days of Noah were 120 years, right? So it could have been going on for quite a while. Well, what were they doing? Let's see what they were doing here. Verse 27, they did eat. Wow, that's a sign. That's something that people have never done before. Listen, that's what he said. That's the sign. They did eat. Well, let's keep reading. They drank. Uh-oh. Eating and drinking. Watch it. When that starts happening, man, you know Jesus is coming back. When people start eating and drinking, that's the sign right there. Why does he say that? They did eat, they drank, they married wives. Okay. All right, good. That's been going on for 6,000 years now. All that stuff right there. Right? And Jesus hasn't come back yet. All those signs for 6,000. So that's not what he's talking about. Let's keep reading. They did eat, they drank, they married wives, they were given in marriage until the day that Noah entered into the ark and the flood came and destroyed them all. In other words, things were just going on as usual until it happened. Things were just going on as they had always been going on until the flood came. Verse 28. Likewise also as it was in the days of Lot. They did eat. They drank. They bought and sold. How terrible! All those things were going on in the days of Lot? Yeah. What was going on? Just normal, everyday living. Just as they had always done. They ate, they drank, they bought, they sold, they planted, they builded. Just as human beings have always done. Nothing special. But the same day that Lot went out of Sodom, it rained fire and brimstone from heaven and destroyed them all. Now, when did God's judgment come? As soon as he got Noah and his family safely in the ark. Right? Okay. When did God's judgment come on Sodom and Gomorrah? As soon as God safely got the backslider Lot. Amen. So what's that? That's, Lot is a picture of the last day's church, brethren. Hallelujah. Amen. That's Lot. You know, he's just. He's just Lot. Justified. Amen. He's God's man. But no judgment, full of sin, a messed up family and home. Say, what's that? Picture of the Christian last day. That's him. But you know what the Lord did? The Lord got him out before he sent the judgment. Now listen. There's judgment coming to this earth. It has to. It's coming. But before it happens, before the tribulation begins, what's going to happen? Church is going out. Listen, if God could get Lot out, he could get you and I out. Amen? Amen. I mean, it might not be a straight shot. We might have to, you know, go like this and ricochet off the moon or something to get home. I don't know. You know, amen. The backsliders kind of go, you know, up. Whatever. But anyway, the Lord's going to get us all home. Amen. Rapture is going to happen. But when it happens, it won't be any different than it's ever been. Everybody will be going to work. Everybody will be eating breakfast and lunch and dinner. Everybody will be sleeping and working and getting married and going to weddings and going to funerals and having family functions and going out and watching the ball game and just doing what they've always done. And then just one day out of nowhere, boom! We're gone. And judgment comes. Now, that much we do know. So if we can figure out about when the judgment's going to come, we know when we're getting out. Amen. And so there are some things you can go by. Jesus told Noah 120 years. And 120 years later, guess what happened? Amen. It happened just like God said. So God's not trying to trick us. And the Lord will can let us know about when these things are going to take place. One thing we can know for sure, look in Revelation chapter 11. And if you know your Bible at all, you know this much. Before, listen up, before the tribulation can begin, Israel has got to be back in the land. The Jew has got to be back in the land. I mean, if you read that Bible about the Antichrist and the tribulation and the things that God has promised to the nation of Israel, for any of that stuff to happen, Israel has to be back in the land. And guess where Israel is and has been since 1948? Back in the land. Amen. Right where they need to be. Revelation chapter 11 and verse 3. And I will give power unto my two witnesses. And we don't have time for a lengthy study on that now, but suffice it to say, that's Moses and Elijah. I will give power unto my two witnesses, and they shall prophesy 1,260 days, clothed in sackcloth. These are the two olive trees and the two candlesticks standing before the God of the earth. Reference to the book of Zechariah. And if any man will hurt them, for fire proceedeth out of their mouth and devoureth their enemies. And if any man will hurt them, he must in this manner be killed. These have power to shut heaven that it rain not in the days of their prophecy, like Elijah did. And have power over waters to turn them to blood, like Moses did. And to smite the earth with all plagues and as often as they will, like Moses did. And when they shall have finished their testimony, the beast that ascendeth out of the bottomless pit, the Antichrist, shall make war against them and shall overcome them and kill them.
And their dead bodies shall lie in the street of the great city, which spiritually is called Sodom in Egypt, where also our Lord was crucified. Where was Jesus crucified? No doubt. Where was he crucified? Jerusalem. So where do Moses and Elijah have their ministry in the tribulation? Which means what? If they're ministering to Israel, then where's Israel? They're back in the land. There's no doubt about it. During the tribulation period, Israel's back in the land. And God is dealing with his people once again there, out of the city of Jerusalem. Verse 9, and they, the people and kindred and tongues and nations shall see their dead bodies 3 days and a half, and shall not suffer their dead bodies to be put into graves. And they that dwell upon the earth shall celebrate Christmas. Well, it says, they shall rejoice over them and make merry and send gifts. So, who knows? It could be at Christmas time. Because these two prophets tormented them that dwell on the earth. And after 3 days and a half, the spirit of life from God entered into them, and they stood upon their feet, and great fear fell on all them which saw them. And they heard a great voice from heaven saying unto them, come up hither, and they ascended up to heaven in a cloud, and their enemies beheld them. Now, how about that? Look at verse 9, and they of the people and kindreds and tongues and nations shall see their dead bodies 3 days and a half. What a thing. Can you imagine someone writing that and putting that in a book 2,000 years ago? That they'd be dead for 3 days and everybody on the face of the earth would see it. How's that possible? Television, internet, the cell phone, it's possible now. It's only been possible for the last 50 years. How did the guy writing that know that? See? You know what he's doing? He's telling you that when this thing will happen, you'll have advances in communication. And here we are. You know what Daniel said? Many shall run to and fro, and knowledge shall be increased until the time of the end. Well, there you have it. So there are some signs. There are some things we can look forward to for the Lord coming back. You read the book of Daniel and the book of Revelation, there's no doubt about it, amen, that Israel will be back in the land. Not only that, something else we can look to as a sign. Look in 2 Thessalonians chapter 2. 2 Thessalonians chapter 2. Signs of the times. The Lord says, don't be a hypocrite and don't be ignorant. You ought to be able to look at the signs of the times and know when my coming draweth near. 2 Thessalonians chapter 2 and verse 1. Now we beseech you, brethren, by the coming of our Lord Jesus Christ, by our gathering together unto him. What's that? Which part of the coming of the Lord is it talking about there? No doubt about it. It's the rapture of the church. How do you know that? What did he say? Our gathering unto him. Amen? The rapture of the church. That's the part of the coming that he's talking about here. No doubt about that at all. Verse 2. That you be not soon shaken in mind or be troubled. Oh, Jesus is coming. What are we going to do? And, you know, relax. Nor spirit, nor by word, nor by letter, addest from us, as that the day of Christ is at hand. Day of Christ, always a reference to the rapture. Verse 3. Let no man deceive you by any means. There it is again, that warning of deception. For that day shall not come. Well, there it is. No rapture. I can prove it in the Bible. Look, I just proved to you there's no rapture. I used the Bible to do it, didn't I? Don't you believe the Bible? What's wrong with you? How can you teach there's a rapture? I just showed you in the Bible there's no rapture. Look, what does it say? Doesn't it say that that day shall not come? Well, amen. You follow me? In other words, can't you teach anything from the Bible if you wanted to by taking it out of the context? That's not what he said, is it? He didn't say that it wouldn't come. What did he say? He said that that day shall not come except... Okay, so it's going to come, but before it comes, what has to happen? Except there come a falling away first, and that man of sin be revealed, the son of perdition. So the Antichrist hath to be revealed, and what? A falling away. We call that, big word we use for that, apostasy. Four syllables, I know. But falling away also has four syllables, so we're good. Right? Now, a falling away, which simply means you kind of go along like this and then it's... In a Christian's life, you'd call that backsliding. All right? This is the church as a whole. The church as a whole is falling away. Falling away from the truth. Falling away from a holy, dedicated, sold-out life to Christ. Falling away from their impact in the world. Falling away from their stand for truth. Falling away from sound doctrine. Falling away in every way possible. That's a sign that the Bible gives for the church to know about when the rapture will take place. Before the rapture will happen, what will happen? A falling away. So, we haven't seen that yet. Amen? Well, either we have or we haven't. Has there been a falling away? Has that started yet? What if it hasn't? My. Can you imagine if this isn't even the beginning of the falling away yet? When most Christians don't even know where a perfect Bible is anymore? And that wouldn't even mean... Can you imagine if this isn't the falling away? Wow, that's scary. I mean, if this isn't the falling away, I sure don't want to see what it is. But let's look at a few verses on that. 1 Timothy chapter 4, you got it? 1 Timothy 4. A falling away first. 1 Timothy 4, look with me in verse 1. Now the Spirit speaketh expressly that in the latter times, there we are, latter times, that's basically at the end of the times, some, so it's still during the church age, some shall depart from the faith. There's Christians, but they're falling away. You see that? They're leaving. They're not in church. They're not living for God. Or if they are, they're in some kind of weird thing, not like what church is supposed to be. It's some cell group or something instead of a church. Giving heed to seducing spirits and doctrines of devils. Wow. Christians would get to the point. Churches would get to the place where instead of hearing God from the Word of God, they would rather be deceived by listening to seducing spirits and doctrines of devils. That's the warning. That couldn't happen. It will happen. God already promised it will happen. The question is it happening already? I believe it started. But I don't even believe we're there yet. When you look at all this stuff, what does he say? Verse 2, speaking lies and hypocrisy, having their conscience seared with a hot iron. And that's the thing these days, man. You convict and you preach on sin and wickedness and not doing right. And people say, well, you know what? I think you're right. That's wrong. I shouldn't be doing that. All right, so you're going to stop? Well, no, I'm not going to stop. Well, why not? Well, what's the big deal? We all sin, you know, and so I'll just... Oh, yeah. Why? Conscience seared with a hot iron. You get right in their kitchen and preach right on their sin. Well, he's right. That's interesting. And go right on doing it. No tears, no repentance, no nothing. That's... The Bible says what'll happen. You got a Bible. You're reading what I'm reading? That's what it says is going to happen, right? Speaking lies and hypocrisy, having their conscience seared with a hot iron, forbidding to marry. See that? So what's that? Well, just live together. Or, well, don't get married at all. Just refrain. Huh? That ain't happening. See, you know what that leads to? More filth, more fornication, more wickedness. Amen. Marriage isn't appreciated for what it should be. Forbidding to marry. Well, you know, I'll marry you if, but first I have to make sure 100% you'll never get divorced. And if I'm not confident in that, I'm just not marrying you. Where'd you get that from? I marry people. You know what I do? I counsel them. I said, this is what you're getting yourselves into, and this is what God's going to expect from you. See? Has everybody I've married stayed married? Nope. It ain't my fault. My responsibility is not that. My responsibility is to tell them, this is a vow you're making with each other. You're entering into this covenant. I'm not entering into it. I have nothing to do with that. I didn't marry either of you. You're getting married. You're entering into a covenant. You're making a promise, and you better keep it. You understand? Oh, yeah, I understand. Boom, they didn't understand. But if people are liars, that's not my fault. But I'm not going to forbid them to marry, because then I'd be acting like a devil or an unclean spirit, which I sure wouldn't want to do. I wouldn't want to be confused for that, would you? Forbidding to marry and commanding to abstain from meats. And so that's what you're seeing pop up in the Christian bookstores now, on the Christian television and on the Christian radio, is the books on diet, health and wealth and well-being and all that junk. Amen. Don't eat this, it's bad for you. Don't eat this, it's good for you. Don't eat more of this. This is a superfood. What? Oh yeah, this is a superfood. Eat the superfoods. Don't eat these foods. They're no good for you. Well, how's this for you? Try this one out. Quit eating the food that isn't food. Now that you're safe on. You know what these Christians will do? They'll eat all kinds of junk. It came in a box. If there was any food in it, it disappeared a long time ago. The only thing that's left is like Brother McDonald's talking about with this, miracle medicine stuff, the homeopathic stuff. The only thing left in it is the essence of food. There's no food really left in it. It's just a box with preservatives and this thing and that thing added to it. And there's no food left in it. Quit eating that stuff. Just eat food. You'll be all right. Amen. There's no warning anywhere in this Bible on any food being bad for you. Amen. Not in there. I'll be reading it later, some great truths I want to share with everybody later when everybody's in here, but I'll give you one ahead of time. Red meat is not bad for you. Amen. Green meat with hair growing on it is bad for you. Amen. That's the whole thing. They get focused on that stuff. A Christian's focus should not be on that stuff. Why is that where the focus is getting on? What is that? It's a doctrine of devils. The Bible said, when you start seeing that stuff happening, you know you're getting to the end. Are we getting to the end? I think we're getting to the end. Or falling away. Where they're giving heed to this stuff. When that devil came after Job, he told God, yea, skin for skin. All that a man hath will he give for his life. When you start dealing with, you'll live longer and a healthy life and all, and you promise that stuff to people, you'll get them. You'll get the Christians. Well, that's a good thing. See? Seducing spirits. Doctrines of devils. Amen. That's the warning. Verse 4, for every creature of God is good and nothing to be refused if it be received with thanksgiving. How about that? What meat is there that you can't eat because it's not good for you? The Bible said it's good. Jesus said salt is good. Hello? That's what Jesus said. But my doctor, I know. Now we know who your authority is. Now we know who your God is. The Bible said when you see Christians acting like that, you know you're in the last days. Come on. There are promises in here for living a long, healthy life. None of them have to do with eating. They have to do with obeying God, pleasing God, honoring your parents. Amen. Amen, amen, amen. Not any of this stuff here. Verse 6. If thou put the brethren in remembrance of these things, that's what I'm doing, thou shalt be a good minister of Jesus Christ. Amen. Well, how about it? Nourished up. Nourished up. You want nourishment? What nourishment should you be sticking with? Hello? Nourished up. How? In good fiber. Nourished up in the words. There's some nourishment for you. You're getting it today. How often have you been eating? You're worried about your nutrition, are you? How often are you in the Word of God? How much preaching are you listening to during the week? What do you got on that radio station in your car? You worried about your diet? That's the diet you ought to be worried about. You want to live long and healthy? How about it? Nourish up in the words of faith and of good doctrine wherein those attain, but refuse profane and old wives' fables. That's what all that junk is, according to the Bible. But my mother said, I don't care. But see, I was listening, and Dr. Oz, he said, I don't care about what the Wizard of Oz has to say. I care about what the Bible has to say. It's safe. Amen. But refuse profane and old wives' fables and exercise thyself. Exercise? Really? Food and exercise in the last days? What a coinky-dinky. Are we in the last days? That's the warning. And those things are connected, listen, with doctrines of devils, with seducing spirits. Because it's getting your focus, are you with me, on the physical and not on the spiritual. They just had an article, was it yesterday, I think? Probably, yeah, I think it was yesterday. Day before, maybe, either one. Where they say one of the worst things for your heart is doing a lot of running. That's a knee slapper. All these runners, you know. I want to live long and healthy. They're all dying by the time they're 70. They're destroying their hearts. How about that? You say, why? Because that's... No, don't you understand what all that stuff is? You know what they're doing all the time when they're doing that? They're sweating. What happens when you sweat? What do you lose? Huh? Those what? Minerals. Well, where are you getting that from? That fresh stuff in the garden and that meat you're eating. So you get rid of all that stuff for a bunch of stuff in a box and then go sweat. Now, what's happening in your physical body? You talk to a veterinarian. They know. They know what those animals need. You know what they're subsidizing all the time for those animals? Minerals. They ain't doing it for people. And that stuff you're eating out of the ground, you're eating stuff that's grown out of the same ground for centuries now. It's been depleted. What's been depleted in it? I'm just trying to help you. Do what you want. What I said right there is going to help you out more than Dr. Oz ever will. Amen. 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 All right. Well, brother Ray here. Okay, whatever. Verse 8. For bodily exercise profiteth little, little, but godliness is profitable unto all things. How about that? How about trying that? What a novel thought for Christians. Wow, you know what? Maybe I'll be healthier if I just live right and do right and think right and walk right. For bodily exercise profiteth little, but godliness is profitable unto all things, having promise of the life that now is and of that which is to come. This is a faithful saying and worthy of all acceptation. For therefore we both labor and suffer reproach because we trust in the living God, who is the Savior of all men, especially those who believe. These things command and teach. Let no man despise thy youth, so on and so forth. Now, that's what ought to be being preached and taught. It's not today. Why? Last days. Last days. Isn't it amazing? The Bible told you that stuff would happen in the last days, and it's happening right in front of our eyes. And how much do you hear about it being preached on the Christian radio and the television? You talk about a warning, then why isn't anybody warning? That stuff's in Bible-believing churches. That's scary, brethren. That ought to shock you. But it ought to excite you, too. See, what does that mean? That means we're getting close. Means we're getting close. Thank God. Look back there in 1 Timothy. 1 Timothy chapter 1. 1 Timothy chapter 1. And 2 Timothy chapter 4. 2 Timothy chapter 4. Well, you know what? I can already see this is not going to, we're not going to have enough time. I still got to get into a few things here talking about the signs of the times, the Lord coming back. So I have a sign of the times. It's called a watch, and it lets me know that we need to take a commercial break before service. So we'll go ahead and we'll break now, and we'll just come back to this next week, part 2.